Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with prayer. Please remember that on February 6th at 7 p.m., Midway Baptist Men's Ministry is sponsoring a meal and a time of devotion and all with Hank Parker, who's a professional fisherman. And it'll be held at the Cairo High School Auditorium. If you're interested in going, just get your brother Tim, and we'll be able to pick up tickets for that. I think they're $5. And be in prayer for that. It's an outreach that Midway Baptist Church is doing for the men's ministry. So please be in prayer for that. Do not forget that this Thursday, January 16th at 6:30 p.m. is the Grady County Baptist Association men's meeting at El Bethel. It's at 6:30, as I said. If you are interested in riding together something, just meet us here at the church at 6 o'clock and we'll drive out there. Or you can meet us out there. It's right down the road, and so it's not that far. Maybe closer for some of y'all just to meet us there, but please plan men and boys on attending that. I know it would be a blessing. Monday, January the 20th at 7:30 p.m. is the English as Second Language meal at First Baptist in Cairo. That's our night to provide the meal. If you would, I believe there's a sign up for materials, for items that are needed on the table in the back, so you can donate some items to help with that. But if you'd like to help us, just meet us there at the Fellowship Hall at First Baptist at around 7:30 p.m. We usually feed at 8 p.m. So meet us there, and it's always a blessing, y'all, to just to go and meet and fellowship with the ones that are there, and you'll receive a blessing. Usually anywhere from, I've seen from 35 to 40 to 80 before, so we never really know how many. We'll kind of get an estimate that day or something. But if you can help us with that, please keep that in mind. Then Tuesday, January the 21st at 6:30 p.m. is the Titus II Women's Meeting here at the church. And then Thursday, January the 23rd at 7 p.m. is the men's ministry Standing in the Gap meeting here at the church. Also, deacons, we need to meet at 5 p.m. today. So please mark your calendars for that. Any other announcements? Oh, there you go. Any birthdays? I can't do sign language. Somebody's saying something, but I can't.
Kim!
Thank you! Nobody. They were whispering to me. I have hard enough time seeing, a lot harder time hearing sometimes, but everybody was pointing. So, happy birthday, Kim and Harold.
Harold, 29?
Yeah, 29.
All right, well, let's sing happy birthday to Miss Kim. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Thank you.
Don't forget something. We had 26 in Sunday school this morning, so I'd like to make that announcement. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And, if you will, remember the Owens family this morning, the loss of Mr. Owens. And Mike Bond is back in the hospital in Thomasville, so continue to remember him and Miss Allison, that family. And also understand that Alan Hope had to go to the hospital doctor this morning, so we need to remember them also. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to gather here today and just worship our risen Savior Jesus Christ today, Lord. And Lord, we do just want to take a minute to lift up the ones that we mentioned today, Lord, that are suffering today, Lord. Many of it may be physical or and all, Lord, we know that you will be with them, Lord, and just comfort them and give them a peaceful and restful day today, Lord, if you can, if you will, Lord. We know that you will still watch over them and just continue to bless them and their families, Lord. But Lord, I do just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he stands before us and proclaims your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that as we even talked in Sunday school today, Lord, that Lord, we have come and gathered to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the reason we are here today, Lord. I know the time of fellowship and all is great, and we enjoy that, Lord. But there comes a time, Lord, that we need to refocus, and we need to focus on our Lord. And I just pray that we'll do that today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Our first hymn is hymn 411. If you can, please stand as we praise the Lord in song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Yes, 'tis sweet. 478, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Turn to James chapter 1. As you find your place in your Bible, how many of you know somebody who knows everything? You can never tell them anything because they already know it. Amen. There are usually people who never admit when they're wrong because they never think they are wrong. So they think they have nothing to apologize for because their mind, no matter what you know, they know more than you and you cannot tell them anything. Now, with that question, I want to ask the question, how many of you would admit to being that person who thinks they know everything? One hand back there, it's being honest. Well, let me ask you this. When you got up this morning, did you ask God for wisdom for today? If you didn't, does that mean that you think you know it all? Maybe I forgot to. I get that. But you know, a lot of times we get up in the morning and we go throughout our day, and we get to the end of the day and we look back on the day and realize that we didn't do such a great job. Maybe it's because we didn't start the day off the right way. Maybe we didn't start off asking God for His wisdom and His understanding and His knowledge on what to do, how to do it, when to do it, why to do it, and all the other things that come with that. Well, sometimes when we drive through life, when we take a journey through life, we run into intersections in the road that you can either go straight or go to the left and go to the right, or you can just stop and not go forward, or you can even do a three-point turnaround and go back to where you were. There are all kinds of decisions that we make each and every day. And the question is, when we make those decisions, do we consult God first? Or do we rely on our own understanding? Because the Bible tells us, I don't have this on the screen, but the Bible tells us to acknowledge God in all of our ways, right? We are to acknowledge Him. That means to ask Him, to question Him about the results. Which way do I need to turn? Do I need to go straight? Do I need to back up? Do I need to turn around? Sometimes we get to the why in a road. You know the path is going straight, but sometimes we take our eyes off the road and we get off on another trail that we don't need to be on. Or maybe we thought that was the best route, and it led us to the place where we have to admit, it's okay, I went down the wrong path on this one. But that's often, that's often because we do not ask for God's wisdom. We got it all under control. We got the finances worked out. We got this going. We got that going. We got the relationships going. And for some reason, we think we don't need God's help. Can I tell you that there's nothing further than the truth? We need to seek God. Yes, God gives us knowledge, right? He gives us knowledge. You can gain knowledge. But if you don't use knowledge in the right way, what good is the knowledge? We need to have an understanding that God knows everything, right? The Bible, as we call it, the theologians, if you want to call us that, what we say God is omniscient. That means God knows everything, past, future, and past, present, and future. He knows all of it. He sees it as if it is happening right now, right in our lives. He knows what's ahead. He knows where we came from, and He has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for creating us. He has a plan for saving us. But how many of you would admit this morning that you've made mistakes? Come on, some of you ain't raising your hands, and I know you're lying in church, amen? You're lying. If you've never made a mistake, you're lying. Now, the reality is, we say we've made mistakes. Now, I know Newton is not God, amen? But Newton had a third law of motion, and what was that? I know it's Sunday school, it's, you know, Sunday morning time. For every action, there is an equal and opposite what?
Reaction.
Can I tell you that that is usually very true in the spiritual realm as well? Whenever we make choices, there's a consequence. You can choose the choice, but you can't choose the consequence. And I guarantee you that whatever it is going to be equal to whatever you've messed up. Now, you say, well, you know, little choices, that don't mean nothing. Can I tell you this? Little choices end up being what? Big choices. And if we're not trusting God in the little choices, we're probably not going to trust them in the big ones until after we've known. And then we come, I don't want to say crawling back, which maybe that's a good thing, because, you know, the Bible says to humble ourselves in on the side of the Lord, and He will what? He will lift you up. So, my point is this. James, we started last Sunday night studying the book of James. And here in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, we're going to read them, but then we're going to go back and look at the first four verses again. Because if you've been here on Wednesday nights, we say that context does what? Determines meaning, right? Now, listen to what James says here in verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, how many of we need to raise our hand, right? If you lack wisdom, I'm paraphrasing that. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him or to you or to me. But let him ask in what?
Faith.
Without or with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, James is saying this. If you lack wisdom, who are you supposed to ask? Number one answer, God. Now, the Bible does tell us in Proverbs that there is wisdom in the multitude of counsel, right? It does tell us that. But our first response shouldn't be, unless you got a really godly friend that's going to lead you to ask God, then the first response needs to say, okay, God, this is going on in my life, my family, my finances. This is where I'm at. Lord, I don't know where to go. I don't know what decision I need to make. Lord, I need you to help me make the right choice. Can I tell you, as a father, I never want to give my children the wrong advice. Amen? How many of y'all want to tell your kids to do the wrong thing? None of us do. And so when we ask of God, the Bible says, listen, when we ask, He's going to give it to us. And He's going to give it to us liberally. Some translations say generously. In other words, it is God's desire to give His children the right answer. He's not going to give you the wrong answer. Now, your friend might give you the wrong answer. Even your parents might give you the wrong answer. But God's never going to give you the wrong answer. The question is, do we believe what God tells us? Are we listening to Him? Or do we... Here's what we normally do. And I'm saying this because I've been there and done that. Sometimes we know what the right thing to do is, and God's told us the right thing to do, and we say, that just don't feel right. And God says, okay, go do what you're going to do, but you're going to come back. You're going to come back to me because you're going to blow it. And I gave you the right information. Now, what you choose to do with that information, that's on you. But when you make the wrong choice, realize that there are those consequences to that choice that we make. Wisdom. What is wisdom? There are different definitions. I'm going to give you just a few of them that I found. Webster's dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to make right use of knowledge. Sounds good. One of the theological dictionaries that I have says wisdom is prudent, is considered, it's experienced, and is competent action to master the various problems of life. That's good, but is that all there is to wisdom? because you can know everything there is to know about everything, like we talked about earlier. But if you make the wrong choices and you're not doing it in a way that honors God, then you've missed the whole point. Now, with that being said, I want us to go back into James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, because we're going to look at the context here. Excuse me. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various, what's the next word?
Trials.
You see, the thing is James, well, let you in on something that we're going to probably talk about this coming on Wednesday night. When you read the Bible and you have all them little verse markers by numbers and you see all these little subtitles and everything else, remember that when the Bible was written, there were none of those verse numbers there. There were none of those divisions in the text there. It was written in a continuous manner. And so there was no chapters, no verses. It was just written just like you would write a letter to somebody. And so James is carrying all the thought of falling into various trials. This one, it says in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So James here, as we read in context, James is saying, listen, you're going to face trials. It's not if, it's when. When you fall into these trials. Now, granted, God can give you a trial. God can give you a test. But oftentimes, the tests we go through in life are who's making? Ours. We blame God for a lot of things He didn't do. Amen. He gets a lot of blame for the things that we do, and then we question God, and why did God allow this, and why did He allow me to go through that? Well, maybe it was something we did, and God's saying, listen, you thought you had it under control. I was just letting you see. I was letting you see if you have it under control or not. I'm letting you do your thing. You wanted to go your own way. Now let's see how far you can go with that. Sometimes we go through trials that are of our own making. But we need wisdom to not make poor choices. Wisdom, this is my definition, and I think I'll work this off of Charles Stanley. So listen to what it says. Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge in a way that honors and glorifies God. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you're not using it to honor God and to glorify Him, then you've missed the mark, because you're not using wisdom. You have knowledge, but you have to begin with God. You have to begin with that understanding. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge, wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, the point I'm trying to make with this is simply that if you don't know God, if you don't have a relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, you have no wisdom. You might have the wisdom of the world, but you don't have godly wisdom. And you can't use that wisdom that you have to honor God, because you don't have that right relationship with God. You're still living in your sins, and you need to have that relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then as we learn to fear the Lord, which means to have a reverent awe and respect of God and who He is and what He does and all those things, then we begin to have knowledge. And that knowledge turns into wisdom, because as we go through life, God is going to say, listen, Tim, that wasn't the right thing to do. And this is the right way to go. Because Satan came to kill, steal, and to do what to you? Destroy you. God didn't do that. He came to give you life and that you may have it more what? Abundantly. Jesus didn't come to destroy your life. He came to give you a better life. He came to give you eternal life. But oftentimes we want to listen to our friends and we want to listen to the doctors and we want to listen to all this and instead we need to say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Show me the right way. Show me the path that leads to you. Proverbs 1:7 is on the board. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Listen here. I'm not calling anybody a fool, but I've been a fool plenty of times in my own life, amen? How many times has somebody tried to steer us in the right way and we didn't want to listen? Probably all of us. What does the second half say? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's that person that thinks they know everything. You can't tell them anything. And whatever you do, they're going to tell you wrong and they got a better way to do it. Amen? Fool is a person whose choices contradict God's truth. The fool ignores God's value system and they continuously make poor choices. Now, I get it. James is saying in verses 5-8 that if we lack wisdom, we need to ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And then he goes on to talk about how that is lived out in our lives. Because here he's saying that, listen, that the unstable, the person who has no wisdom is that person who's like a wave of the seas. He's tossed to and fro. He believes in God, but he doesn't fully believe in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes, here's how we do. Sometimes we go to God. We say, God, give us the wisdom we need, and we listen, right? But then what happens tomorrow or next week or next month when a different problem comes along? Oh, I got this. Take a break. Take a rest. I got this. I can handle this. And we try to make choices on our own, and we're saying, you know, because isn't that what the Israelites did? It's amazing we're studying through Exodus, because that's exactly what Israel, one minute they trust God, the next minute they would. And James is saying, listen, that person is unstable. They're like that wave that's tossed to and fro. They have no stability in them. When we ask, we are to ask in faith. Faith believes. Faith is not just a word. Faith is a verb. It does something. It believes. It trusts. It acts upon the faith that it has in God. Sometimes life creates a need for wisdom. And in verse 5, can we put 5-8 back up? If any of you lacks wisdom, I'm going to paraphrase that as a dialogue. If you lack wisdom, how many of you lack wisdom? Come on, show your hand. If you lack wisdom, can I tell you that nobody knows everything? I don't care who they think they are. And think they know what they know, or know everything about what they know. Not everybody knows everything. None of us know everything about it. But we have a God who we serve who does know everything. And so we need to look and say, if we lack wisdom, what are we supposed to do? Ask. Ask. If you lack wisdom, if you get to that point in your life, you don't know what's going on, You don't know which way to go, which way to turn, who to trust, who not to trust, what decisions to make or to do, then we are to ask of God. But we are also to ask in faith, believing that He has the answer and He has the right answer. How are we going to respond to it? Sometimes life creates wisdom, the need for wisdom in finances. Sometimes it's in family problems. Sometimes it's in relationship problems. Sometimes it's with coworkers, amen? Sometimes we just don't have a clear answer on something we're going through. We don't have a clear answer, we don't have a clear picture, we can't see the end result, whether it's going to lead to life or to destruction. And we just simply need to come before God and say, God, I need your help. I need you to guide me on this. I need your wisdom to see me through. Because you know why God, you know why God wants to give you wisdom? He doesn't want His children to look like fools. Amen? If we're representing Him, because Paul says we are ambassadors for who? For Christ. If every Christian makes poor decision after poor decision after poor decision, what does that show the world? Does it show a good picture of Christ or a bad picture? It shows a bad picture of who He is and what He's done for us. God doesn't want His children looking bad. God wants them to be smart, to do smart things, to have wisdom. You see, the problem is, if an alcoholic never realizes he's an alcoholic, is he ever going to seek help? Is a drug addict who never wants to admit he's a drug addict, is he ever going to seek help? Now let's put these shoes on for a minute. If you think you're the smartest person on earth and you've got all the answers, that means you're never going to admit that you don't have the wisdom you need. And so therefore, God is not going to give you the wisdom you need because you think you got it already. You can handle it. You can do it on your own. You don't need Him. The arrogant person thinks he never needs counsel. The foolish person who refuses to admit their need for wisdom always makes poor choices. Now, the good thing is that James says here in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You see, life does create the need for wisdom, but the good thing is that when we realize that we lack wisdom, we have somebody we can go to, that we can ask for that wisdom. We can seek His counsel. Why should we ask God for wisdom? Because as I said in the beginning, He already knows. He knows it all. He has the answer. Wisdom is a gift from God, amen? It is a gift from God. And God wants to give us that gift because James said, listen, if you don't have it, ask for it. It's that simple. God wants His kids to look good. God wants His kids to make good choices. He wants that for us. We should ask Him for the gift of wisdom. When we ask, this is what James says there in verse 5. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. As I've already mentioned, some versions translate that liberally to generously. God gives it freely to those who ask. And He does so. James uses the word here translated without reproach. What does reproach mean? And here's what I'm just going to throw it out. What James is saying with this, God is not going to belittle you or make fun of you because you asked. He's not going to do that. He's not going to say, well, you should have known that by now. You're how old? I've already gave you all these tests that you could go through and you haven't learned your lesson yet, boy. He's not going to do that. He's going to say, son, daughter, I want you to do right. I want you to make good choices and wise choices, because when you do, you honor me. You glorify me because you've chose to do the right thing. You've chose to do what I told you to do. And by default, that honors me. Wisdom's a gift from God. God gives wisdom to us when we ask generously. He's not stingy with his gift. He knows how bad we need it, amen? He knows how bad we need it. He wants to give it to us. God's not going to find fault with us. He's not going to make us feel bad. Listen, remember Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at this. We sang a song a minute ago. This one, Jesus is saying in this passage, because he's talking about the verses coming into this, he's talking about if you keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, right? And then he goes on and he says, or what man is there among you whom if his son asked for bread would give him a stone? Jesus this is a rhetorical question, okay? We already know the answer to it. And he's saying this, and so what man, which one of you here would give his son a stone if he was asking for bread? If he was hungry, would you give him a rock? And the answer is what? Nobody. Nobody here. If you had one piece of bread left in your house and your son came to you and he was hungry, what would you do? You'd at least split it in half, or most parents would say, here, son, take the whole thing. Amen? Verse 10, if you ask for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? Oh, son, you're hungry? Let me get you a rattlesnake. You can cook it and eat it once you kill it. Just don't let them teeth bite you. We wouldn't do that. If you then, here's Jesus, if you then being evil, and he's talking to us, amen, by default, talking to us, if we being sinners, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who, what? Ask him. We'll talk about this in the weeks to come, but James said, listen, you don't have because you don't ask. Sometimes you don't have when you do ask because you ask for the wrong thing, you ask for the wrong reasons. God must give us wisdom. God wants us to ask him for wisdom, and when we do, he's going to give it to us generally and for the right reasons. Listen. If we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does God want to give us good things? Things that are going to edify us, to build us up, that give glory back to him. How much more is he going to do those things? But you know what? If you're in a situation today where you need wisdom, you know what you need to do? Ask. Ask. Ask God to give it to you. And trust him that he's going to give you the right answer. This point number three. Wisdom is given to those who ask in faith. Let's go back to James 1, 5 through 8, if you don't mind. Look at verse 6 there. But let him ask in faith. Let her ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Listen carefully. For let not that man or woman suppose that they will receive anything from the Lord, for they are double-minded, unstable in all their ways. Now, we must ask for wisdom with faith. We must ask without doubting. When we ask, we must believe that God is going to supply that need to us. We need to ask with an attitude of trust. Because you know what doubting, the definition of doubting is? Y'all know what doubt is? Doubt doesn't change the reality, does it? Doubt, the definition of doubt is to dispute with oneself. It doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change his goodness. It doesn't change his desire to give you what you need. What it is you in your own mind, you can't figure it out. You're disputing with yourself. Remember, I know y'all never did this, right? How many of y'all in high school or middle school or maybe even younger than that, would go out there and pick a flower off the field and you do what with each petal? She loves me. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. Right? Y'all didn't do that. I know. Isn't that the way we treat God? He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. I believe him. I don't believe him. I trust him. I don't trust him. He got me now. He don't got me then. We go round and round and round, and we're flipping back and forth like a wave in the ocean that's being driven. If the wind blowing from the east, we're blowing to the west, and if it's blowing from the west, we're moving to the east. Then we're all over the place. Our faith is unstable. And God's saying, listen, trust me in this. Trust me. Try me. Prove me. We sing the song, don't we? How about with wisdom? Let's trust God. Let's prove him. Let's listen to his lead in our lives. Doubter never knows because he won't listen. He might think he's the smartest person, the most knowledgeable person, and the wisest person in his own eyes, but he won't listen. And he's disputing within himself, and this is like, you know, just like I said a minute ago, sometimes God gives us the answer and says, well, that just don't feel right. Well, that's because you're in your own way. Listen to God, listen to what he wants you to do, and take him at his word and do what he's asking you to do. James said, listen, don't let that person think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. We need to ask. We need to ask in faith. We need to ask without doubting. We need to trust the results up to God. Listen, this is what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, I've been driven many times to my knees, by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and knowledge of all that was about me seemed insufficient for the day. How about you today? Do you have that same feeling that you have nowhere else to go but to the Lord? Maybe we need to ask him. Maybe we need to be like Abraham Lincoln and be down on our knees because we don't have anywhere else to go. We can find the wisdom nowhere else that we can find with God. But what are we going to let it do to us? Are we going to trust him? Are we going to allow him to lead us and to guide us? Maybe you're in a situation today where, I said, Brother Tim, I just don't know. I want God's wisdom. I want to make the right choices, but I need God's help. Listen. if Abraham Lincoln wasn't too good to get on his knees, maybe we shouldn't be too proud to get on ours. Maybe we need to come and ask the Lord, Lord, show me the way. Maybe someone here would say, you know, Brother Tim, I can't have wisdom because I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, we can show you how you can have a relationship with him. When we sang this morning, if you'll just come forward, if you have a decision to make, if you need wisdom for the Lord, if you need somebody to pray with you, because listen, we all need wisdom, amen? We need wisdom in our marriages, we need wisdom in our families, we need wisdom in our workplaces, we need wisdom in our community, we need wisdom in our state, we need wisdom in our nation. We need it. But what are we going to do with it? Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fools hate wisdom. Knowledge. How about you today? What do you need to do? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation this morning, God, I pray that you give each one of us wisdom today. Lord, for the one who may be here, who's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you would call them to yourself. I pray, God, that they would trust you wholeheartedly. Lord, that they would, Lord, just fully put their trust, their heart, their life into your hands. Lord, for the ones who have decisions in life that they don't know which way to go, which way to turn, Lord, I pray for your wisdom for them. And I pray, God, that they would humble themselves enough to seek your wisdom, but then to listen to it and obey it. Lord, help us all to be people who turn to you in every area of life, Lord, not just in the tough ones, but even those decisions we think we can handle on our own. Lord, I pray that we would turn to you. Lord, lead us and guide us now in your will and your ways. We ask it in Jesus' name.